You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
It's Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show. And today I am joined by my very special guest, Billy Hofacker, who is the proud owner of Total Body Bootcamp in Long Island. Billy is a member of our Ideal Business Academy group, and he has built a powerhouse business with a couple different locations in Long Island. And we're basically going to let Billy share kind of his backstory, how he's gotten to where he's at, and some tips that can help you to build your ideal business. So welcome, Billy.
Thank you so much, Pat. I'm excited to share today.
Well, so let's go ahead and kind of give people your backstory. How did you get into the fitness industry?
Yeah, so I started off, it's pretty much the only thing I've done. And the way that came to be was I was originally in school for pre-physical therapy, and that was just getting my, knocking out my courses, my science courses. I was going to a community college, wasn't a great student in high school. I was always passionate about sports. I basically grew up in a gym. I was hitting the gym with my buddies at 14 years old, no clue what I was doing, obviously, kept on. And in my journey through the pre-physical therapy program, I was turning myself around. I was starting to get serious. I was pretty young. I was only 17 years old when I started college, but I had a wake-up call. I said, if I keep kind of goofing off like I am, I'm not going anywhere. I need to really turn things up. I need to get serious. And I started really diving into my studies. I started working really hard. I actually met a guy in one of my classes who was about 4 years older than me. And his name was Justin. And Justin was a go-getter. He was the definition of a go-getter. I mean, he had his life planned out. He was dating a girl in Columbia Medical School. He was influenced by her. I mean, this guy was getting straight A's. He was actually not only smart, but he was really cool, which wasn't something I was used to at the time. And he influenced me a lot. He was doing personal training while he was going to school. And I had no idea what it was. I literally did not know what a personal trainer was. I said, wait a second. I said, you help people get into better shape and lose weight and feel better about themselves. And he was telling me all these stories about how these women would come to him and they would feel so much better and they were changing their lives. And he said, yeah, he said, I make pretty good money too. He said, he shared a little bit about the kind of money he was making. And at 17 years old, it was exciting to me to realize that I could do that too. So I said, if he could do it, I could do it. So that's where the journey started. From there, I found my first mentor in the fitness industry, which was the owner of the local gym where I grew up. His name was Frank Rossi. He kind of took me under his wing. And I've had a lot of, like most people, I've had a lot of mentors over the years. I learned a lot of great things from Frank. I learned some things not to do as well. And I'm sure that's just a natural part of the journey.
So how did you go from there to eventually moving to a point where you were, you know, owning your own business and actually getting into the entrepreneurial side of the industry?
Yeah, so there were so many different things that happened, and it was all, you know, I realize now there were all of these things were just really pointing me to where I am now. I, of course, had no idea at the time. I decided to take a break from school and said, I'm kind of an all or nothing kind of guy, 0 or 100, so to speak. And I went after it, and I really haven't looked back. I eventually did go back to school for exercise and nutrition science, but at that time, I went, you know, full force into personal training. I started getting mentored by Frank, and I started to develop some entrepreneurial skills at that time because I was what, 17, 18 years old, and I was an independent contractor for this gym, and I didn't get clients handed to me. I had to get my own clients. I had to pay rent at the time. I wasn't living for free. I didn't have a ton of overhead, but I had to make some money and I had to get my own clients. And to do that, I figured out some different strategies to market myself. I would do workshops at the gym, you know, where I was. Coincidentally, the gym was called All Natural Gym. and it was anything but all natural, if you know what I mean. And I started doing all these talks there. I started meeting the members there. I would do cold calling. The guy was really great to me. I would borrow his office and just sit there with a list of all the members. And I would call every single one of them and just ask them if they were interested, if they needed any help, any tips. I can't remember now, but possibly a free session. And I started building up a clientele. Then shortly after that, I can't remember exactly how long I did that, but it wasn't a really long time. It was a year or two. I wanted to get other experience. And I always maintained a good relationship with Frank. And I always had some clients at the gym there. And I also trained myself there. But I went and did some other things, a whole variety of things. I worked in private studios. I worked in a gym on wheels. I worked pretty much any personal training setting you could think of. And I ended up going back years later. I was in my mid-20s. I went back to the original gym. And so I was doing that. And then, unfortunately, the gym got sold where I was training. And the new guy, it was this guy, and he had zero business experience. He actually got the money because he had it was an accident. He got into an accident. It was a lawsuit. He got the money. He decided, hey, I want to open up a gym. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, the gym's no longer there. So anyway, I didn't see eye to eye with the new owner. I had a great relationship with the previous owner. And I had a lot of the clients at that point, because I was building up a reputation in the area, and I was bringing a lot of my own clients in, and they were buying memberships to the gym as a result of their relationship with me. Honestly, I did have a great deal. I had my own office there, and I had definitely had some great opportunities there. And you know, this guy saw it as a lopsided deal, and I tried to restructure things for me, and it just didn't work for me. So I ended up leaving there, and then I was doing a combination of personal training at my home. So I actually purchased my own home, and I was doing personal training in, you know, the downstairs, and I was doing in-home training, going to clients' homes. And then I got offered, Pat, I think you know, I'm a passionate martial artist. I've been doing martial arts ever since I graduated high school. I got offered a job as a professional martial artist. Professional martial artist, meaning that I was managing martial arts facilities. I was teaching private lessons. It was a great job. It was a great deal for me. And I was also more experienced. I got to train with some of the top athletes and fighters in the world. And it was a period of time that I wouldn't trade for anything. That went on for, this is the real quick version, even though hopefully it sounds quick. Then my wife was pregnant with our first child, and this was almost 6 years ago. And I was, you know, doing the martial arts job, and my wife was a full-time social worker. And I started doing personal training on the side of the martial arts job. So that was sort of my full-time job, and I was doing this on the side, and it was going really well. And I had to make a decision at that point. I knew that if I wanted to see my kids grow up, I had to make a decision. I had to do one or the other. I couldn't just do both. So I made a huge leap of faith at that point. It was June of 2011 that I was doing it part-time for 1 year. And then I went full-time at that point. June of 2011 is when I went full-time, quit the martial arts job, and haven't looked back. And here we are today. I know there's a lot I left out. I hope that's what you're looking for.
So now, I mean, you've gone full-time, but now today you have two facilities that are both successful and both kind of follow that same kind of small footprint approach that I think is fascinating, because I think it's a gap that could be taught better in our industry. So how did you go from that point to where you are now?
So it was definitely a step-by-step process. I learned a lot about finances from doing making some very poor decisions, and most of them were personal finance decisions. So the good news about that is it made me very cautious from a business standpoint to really try and keep overhead low. So it was very much a shoestring budget kind of deal. I started off subleasing my first facility, even when it was part-time, when I still had the martial arts job. I had a lease. It was $175 a month at this small little soccer facility in my area. And I outgrew it in like 2 months. Took this show on the road because it was nicer weather here in New York. It was around this time of 2010, about this time of year, and we took a park. then the following fall, which was obviously after that point in June when I left, that we got the first facility. It was really just a sublet situation. It was 4,000 square feet, which was a good size, and we didn't have access to it 100% of the time. We did that for a year. We did morning times, you know, 6 a.m. We gradually added 9 a.m. and the demand grew. So all of that, I'm sorry, my times are a little bit off. All of that was before I left the martial arts job. The reason I left the martial arts job was because we had the demand to expand. And that's when we finally took over our own space. That was when that occurred. That's when the first facility really was, I guess, you know, our own facility at that point. And then things just continued to grow. I mean, we grew our clientele. You know, I ended up hiring people. And 3 years ago now, opened up the second facility. So that's where we are now. Now we're a team of 7, and that includes me. And we have an internship program as well. And we're just, you know, we're moving forward, and we're, you know, super optimistic about our future, and, you know, couldn't be more excited about how things are going and where we're going and the journey that we're on.
So what kind of specifics can you tell us about the business now? Things like number of clientele, how that's divided over the different, you know, the different locations. I mean, I don't know if you want to get into kind of revenue numbers, anything like that, but I mean, to tell people kind of where you are in the footprint that your business takes up, you know, that, you know, I think some of that would be pretty valuable for the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So one of the things I love about the model that we have is it's really simple. It's simple to manage. We have, and I don't mind sharing top line numbers and things like that. We have close to 200 members. Our average ticket is about $249 per month. I mean, so the simple math there doesn't take a genius. We're at about $500K right now in top line revenue. Really good margins on that. The model is really simple because there's not a lot going on. I mean, there's small group training. And that's one thing that was always really helpful for me is that I don't know how I would do with kind of business where there's like a million different moving parts. It'd be really hard to, because I want to be the best at something. If I'm doing a million different things, I really can't be the best at it. So I need to really hone in on what we do best, what our core competency is, you know, what Jim Collins calls the hedgehog concept. You know, what can we do better than anybody else in the world? And that's really what we're after.
So now, can you give some details about like, the footprint of each space and how much of that is usable for the clientele and kind of what small group training looks like? I mean, I want people to be able to almost feel like they're inside your facility and understand the 9A mix, because I think that what you've done is really, really valuable, because it is that. It's simple, done really, really well. And because of it, you've got a tremendously profitable business.
Yeah, so I couldn't answer that question without talking about a little bit about our culture, which is so important. I mean, you walk into our facility and, you know, everybody greets you by name. It's a family atmosphere. It is small group training, but at the same time, if I'm talking to, you know, a geeky trainer, you know, they might talk about how, you know, every member needs their own, you know, customized program and all that stuff. But if you talk to our members, they're all getting what they need. I mean, it happens every day. I talk to our members every single day. And if somebody has an issue, you know, just last night I was talking to a woman who was going to physical therapy because he's working on her knee. And he said, and I happen to know the guy, the physical therapist. And he said, listen, he goes, anywhere else, I would tell you, you know, you don't stop going. But that place, I know they're doing right by it. I know they're modifying things. They're giving you what you need. So anyway, so from a atmosphere culture standpoint, it's a lot of that community. And from a structure, I mean, there's one coach, and there's the facility is slightly different in that one group we go up to 6 and one we go up to 8. But let's talk about the second facility because it's really easy to describe. It's 1,000 square feet. There's about 800 square feet of usable space. There's one coach, 8 members in a small group setting. And I guess you could kind of think of it as a hybrid. You know, we talk about large group and team training and semi-private training. I would say it's like a hybrid of all of it because it has energy of a large group, which is so important, but it has the personalization of a semi-private in terms of the attention that people are getting and the coaching that they're getting. I mean, I interview our clients on a regular basis, and the number one thing I hear is the attention to detail that they're getting from the coach. They feel like they're getting one-on-one training, but it's obviously not one-on-one.
Okay. So how are you, you know, obviously to have a couple hundred clients, you've done a good job with marketing. You've done a good job with selling. You know, you've already talked about the culture and how I think we would assume that there's probably a cascading effect that yields a pretty darn good retention rate. So how does that kind of first domino happen? How are you getting people in the door?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we've actually been getting a little more aggressive in terms of marketing. What we've done recently, of course, this answer is going to be different, I guess, depending on, you know, the period in the business that I'm answering. But Pat, you know this, but of course, I'm sharing for the listeners. What we were doing in the past was another, it's really funny because now that I'm saying it, it really just all boils down to that simplicity. Because what we were doing in the past was making a different promotion, you know, every month or every other month. You know, this month is our, you know, it's summer's coming, so now it's our summer slim down. And then the fall's coming, so now it's our fall back to fitness. Now we're doing a group weight loss contest. You got to bring your friends in. And it was always something different, and it worked really well. So I don't want to bash that too much. I mean, we got to where we are partly doing things like that in terms of marketing. But now, and again, you helped me on this, Pat, and we created our own unique challenge. We call it the 10-4 challenge or the 10-4 challenge. It's a real simple challenge. It's 10 pounds in 4 weeks. And possibly like a lot of the listeners, we're not so much a, like, you know, people aren't necessarily coming to our facility and walking out with a six pack. I mean, we have a lot of just regular people that are just trying to feel better. There are tons of transformations going on, but we don't push it too heavy. It's more, you know, just for the hook. And then we really promote a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, that's what we've been doing this year, at least. And I mean, the first challenge, we had 39 people sign up on the 10-4 challenge. About 50% became ongoing members, which I know we can get that higher. That was our first one. Our second one is coming up here in a couple of weeks. And, you know, we're going to do better this time because we did a post-mortem. We figured out what we could have done better, and we're doing it this time. So that's the answer to the question of, like, how are we getting people in? That's a big part of it. But then we do a lot of other things, too. You know, we do the things you talk about. We do a lot of referral kind of things and bring a buddy and all that stuff. So those are some of the main ways that we get folks in, you know, challenges through Facebook ads as well as internal marketing. And then, of course, newsletter and a little bit of SEO.
Okay, great. So with that in mind, I want to ask you a couple sets of three, right? So the first will be pretty straightforward. If you could narrow down, like, what have been maybe the three most important things that you've learned to become a successful business owner, then I'm going to follow up with, you know, how about three tips to help the listener who might be, you know, they're in business in many cases or in most cases, but maybe they're not as close to having their ideal business as you are. Like, what kind of tips would you have for them to move towards having the business that they truly, you know, desire or enjoy having? So, you know, I realize that maybe there's a little bit of crossover between the two, but let's start with, you know, the three biggest lessons or things that you picked up that have helped you build the business you want.
Absolutely. Pat, how strict are you on that three? Can I give a couple of bonus tips?
Have at it, man. I mean,
okay. Yeah. All right, cool. Cool. And some of them will be quick hitters, but the first one I want to share, it's something that, you know, we've all seen played out. And you read the book Good to Great, which I highly recommend to anybody listening, Jim Collins. He talks about the Stockdale paradox. And that was the reason it's called Stockdale paradox. It was about an Admiral Jim Stockdale. He spent 8 years in a Vietnamese prisoner of war camp, and he came out the other end, and he's the first in history 3-star officer to wear both the aviator wings and the Congressional Medal of Honor. And Collins did an interview with him, and he just found that there was this duality in his mindset. One was the faith. It was the unwavering faith or the belief that this experience was going to lead him to a better place. And the other side to that was that it wasn't going to be easy. There was going to be challenges. Life happens. And for him, it happened in a big way. It happens for all of us. I mean, I have this woman, client of ours, such a sweet woman. Her name is Dina. She came in a few months back. She walked in and I see her, you know, a couple times a week. She's always like super chipper. And I said, "Hey, Dina, how you doing?" She said, "Not good." I said, "What do you mean not good?" She said, "I just came from the doctor. I have breast cancer." you know, a few months have passed now and she's gone through a lot. I mean, this was a severe form of breast cancer, very advanced. It wasn't guaranteed that she would live. And she posted on Facebook that, hey, I have great support staff, great support my family, my friends, my fellow members at the gym, and I'm going to come out of this. I'm going to survive this. I'm going to beat this thing. But I have an up-road journey. It involves a double mastectomy. It involves radiation, chemo, all types of stuff. I think she definitely embodied that. And I think that's the first thing that I'd point out. Next is surrounding yourself with, or these are things that I've done, right? Surrounding myself with the right people. It's so important. I mean, we're 5 years will be exactly the same, except for the books that we've read and the people that we've been around, people we've met, Charlie, Tremendous Jones. So the masterminds, Pat, you know, your mastermind has been such a blessing. I mean, for so many reasons. I mean, first of all, access to a world-class coach like yourself. I mean, I've met guys, I'm friendly with guys like Doug Sperlin doing big things. I've gotten friendlier with, of course, my coach as well, Justin Yule. And then some of my best friends in this world, I met through the masterminds, you know, guys like Daniel Meng and Fred Zoller. We're more than just like business associates. I mean, we count on each other. We support each other. And it's a really special thing. The third thing I'll share is just doing the right thing, having integrity. What is integrity? It's your actions aligning with your values. You know, what are you doing each day to live with integrity? One of my previous coaches told me that if I keep doing the right things will happen. And that's definitely served me well. And of course, and I kind of alluded to some of these already, set and stay focused on goals. We have this, we're going in a million different directions. You know, we go to a seminar, we learn like 10 new ideas, we read a book, there's other ideas. We go for a, you know, if you're a true entrepreneur, you go for a 2 mile run and you have like four different businesses planned out by the time you get back. And it's important to stay focused on the goals you set for yourself, because if you keep starting new goals, you're never going to reach the one you've already set. And then again, another one that I've already alluded to, that was stay lean. That might be at the top, man. That one can save you so much headache and heartache. Stay lean. Keep your overhead low. Grow accordingly. You know, invest more as you make more, but be conservative. I think you'll have so much more opportunity. The magic is in the margin.
I like it. I like it. So, and I know, again, there's probably going to be some carryover here, but if you were to give somebody advice, if you were going to coach somebody to build a better business and you had to narrow it down to three things that you would tell them, what would be those three things?
I would say number one, you know, and this is, it sounds so simple, and it is, it's not easy, but it's simple. Don't give up, because it happens to everybody. You show me anybody that has achieved success in any single area, and I'll show you somebody who has persevered through a lot of struggle. Pat, I know you have an ideal business right now, and I know you'll be the first to tell us that you have overcome some adversity in your career. So don't give up. Just stay with it. If you give up, you're done. You have to keep growing, keep learning. That's going to be part of not giving up. Failure is, you didn't fail until you gave up. So just maybe change your course of direction, maybe implement a new system or strategy, but don't give up. Keep going. Another thought is, it's hard for us to see sometimes exactly what's going on, because we're, you know, we're kind of in our own way, we're in our own head, we're wrapped up with all the things that are going on. So getting some outside perspective, and of course that has to be within reason. I watched a girl who hadn't even started her business yet drop $25,000 on a mastermind. So that is certainly not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting finding a coach that, or a person, or somebody that can give you some insight. It could be a friend, it could be a coach, depending on the level you're at. I mean, I can't tell you, the money that I spent on coaching has paid dividends. It's been invaluable. So that's my second one. And then finally, I would definitely recommend focusing on your strengths. I think so many of us, we're trying to get better at everything. And it's just, you know, we only have so much time in the day. I mean, after we kind of do all the things we have to do, I mean, how much time do we really have? So take that time and double down on your strengths. If you're really good at leading, then lead. If you're really good at motivating, then motivate. You're really good at teaching, then teach. But you're going to get the biggest return on your investment, the biggest bang for your buck, by focusing and improving on your strengths.
I love it. Hey, great stuff. Billy, I mean, I know we've talked about sharing some of what's helped you build your business out there with other fitness professionals. But in the meantime, if somebody wants to learn more about you and the success you've had and what you've done, I mean, where can they find you?
Yeah, I would love that. I'd welcome anybody to reach out to me and to share what you're dealing with, what you're looking for, what you're looking for help with. That will help us in creating that for you. So I would say Facebook is probably the easiest and best place. Just hit me up on there. You can send me a private message. It's under my given name, which is William. So William Hofacker. But if you type in Billy, it comes up. You know, I'm in Pat's groups as well, Virtual Fitness Mastermind. So you can find me on Facebook easily. I would love to hear from you.
Awesome. So, man, again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing the insight you provided, kind of your backstory, the lessons, all of it. Fabulous. And I think, you know, just seeing how much success you've had in, you know, the smaller footprint facilities, just saying, hey, we're going to be great at this thing. You know, hopefully that's pretty inspiring to a lot of people who think that they need 7,000 or 8,000 square feet and they need to be all things to all people. You know, hopefully this gives them some ideas about how to, you know, maybe consider an alternative path to success. So thank you. And thank you everybody for listening in to this episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.